Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi there, you're listening to Royals. It's the only podcast that goes behind the walls of Buckingham Palace. I'm your host for today, Zoe Burrell, and I'm a writer about all things royal at New Idea Magazine.
And I'm Angela Mollard. I'm a journalist, author, and proud royal expert.
And on the show today, we're going to be chatting all about the lavish lives of the mini royals.
Exciting, isn't it? We're going to talk about the royal twins who've become style icons.
And Princess Charlotte's multi-million dollar playhouse.
And Mary and Fred's international exchange.
Oh, yeah, lots of stuff to chat about today.
Not sitting at a bus stop waiting for the, 711, are they? They're very lavish. In fact, I got major royal envy when I was researching this topic. Sometimes you just think, God, they're so lucky, aren't they? I hope they appreciate it. Anyway, let's kick off with who are we going to talk about first?
Oh, well, I think we'll start off with the royal twins of Monaco. I mean, they're only five.
I know.
But they have
super
a pretty
cute, though.
Lush life.
They do have a very lavish life. So this is Princess Gabriella and Princess Jacques of Monaco. They are the children of the reigning monarch, Albert the second. He, of course, is married to Charlene, Princess Charlene. I love the fact that there's a Charlene in the royal, Monaco, where one in three Monaco residents are millionaires. So it's not like,
Oh my gosh.
Exactly. They're born into a principality. Absolute. I mean, it's the race car driver and yachting epicenter of the world, isn't it? I've actually been there.
I've never been.
You cannot get anything to eat for less than $50. Honestly.
That's probably why I haven't been.
Don't go. Honestly, it is ridiculously expensive. I was there for a day and a half and it's like, oh my gosh, I need to, I can't eat for the rest of the week because it was so expensive. Anyway, these two are utterly gorgeous. They're both five. As you said, they had these really cute little birthday parties for their fourth birthday. They had a superhero party and the local fire brigade in Monaco came to their birthday party to show off the fire engine and whatnot. And for their fifth birthday, they had a Smurf theme party. Now, this is all very normal. This is what kids, most kids do. They had a jumping castle. They probably had a jumping castle that was actually castle sized as a opposed to, the 2 meter by 2 meter that people pump up in their back garden. They are really stylish. I mean, their mum, Charlene, loves fashion. And so you see these two on their mum's social media. But I particularly like the one time they stepped out on a red carpet event and they were wearing leather jackets and sunglasses.
Oh, matching as
yeah,
well, wasn't
so
it?
Yeah, so cute.
Adorable.
And she's quite matchy-matchy with them. I mean, I think that's the hard thing with twins, isn't it, how matchy to go. But look, they've been to Disneyland. They go to multiple events. We've seen them on yachts. Their mum is actually really involved in their lives. I mean, they have, obviously a panoply of nannies and all sorts of staff. But she once said that it was often exhausting and that she was very hands-on. So, yes, they are cute. Interesting to see what they become like as teenagers, though, because you can be precocious when you're little and very annoying when you're a teenager.
And there are a couple of wild children, weren't there, from the Monaco
royal
family?
Oh, yes.
History?
Stephanie, particularly. I mean, I think she married or shacked up with every circus performer in the whole principality. It's funny, isn't it? Because you have this I wonder if sometimes when you're born into that level of luxury and wealth where every panel and every room and every corridor has sort of got gold leaf on it, whether you then just want a bit of rough, you want to live with the circus or do something that's more alive. I mean, I wonder how staid it feels. I mean, I wouldn't have a problem with it.
Yeah. And how do you think their sort of life compares to the Cambridge children over in the UK?
Well, obviously the Cambridge kids are the most famous royal children in the world, George, Charlotte and Louis. And I think their parents are doing a tremendous job of giving them the most normal childhood that they possibly can. I mean, they revel in their time up at Anmer Hall in Sandringham. We see their Christmas photos and things taken there. Kate's talked about on a recent podcast where she talked about mothering, how she really loves those moments where the children are immersed in nature. She's done a lot of early childhood work. She's talked a lot about nature. In fact, all her passions, photography, nature, gardening, early childhood education, they all suggest very much that she wants her children to have this beautiful, quiet upbringing. I mean, the kids were apparently lambing last week with William. And I think that there's a real drive to give them some normalcy, but also I think in this, you know, there's been a lot of discussion around mental health and nature being a sort of wonderful treatment for people with anxiety and depression. For immersing in nature can make you feel purposeful and relaxed. And I think they know all the research. They have access to the best top research. I also think Kate's own upbringing has meant that she wants to give that to her children. She had a very happy upbringing, lots of sports, happy, healthy, nice holidays, very middle class, of course, but very close and tight-knit, very close to family. And I think that's what she's endeavouring to impart to her children. From William, I think we get the Princess Diana influence. And, of course, Princess Diana was the first real royal mum to submerge her children in ordinary life. They went to theme parks. They went to McDonald's. They went and visited the homeless. They went and visited AIDS patients. She made them aware of their privilege in a way that previous generations hadn't. I mean, the Queen, you know, educated by governesses, brought up in palaces, largely by nannies. They were really inoculated from the world. Now, they're very much immersed in the world, and whereas in the past they would sort of open a commercial enterprise or that have a sort of shaking hands or red curtain moment with a charity and that open a plaque. Now they're fully immersed in the things that the charities and the patronages that they undertake. So they talk to the subjects. They're not just there as sort of figureheads for these organisations. They absolutely immerse themselves in the work that they do. You know, they crouch down. They didn't used to crouch down. I mean, you never saw pictures of the Queen crouching down at eye level with children and that sort of thing. And I think that they're trying to impart that, particularly with George Louis and Charlotte, that to have an understanding of the everyman, every person, every child, like this is what it's like for them. That said, they do have their $35,000 a year education at Thomas's in Battersea, which is a fair whack of money for a kid, so that their peers will be, you know, the wealthy of London as well. I mean, God, wouldn't you just want your child, if you were in that year, to be friends with them? I mean, imagine that as your lifelong, Prince George's.
Getting invited round for play dates at the palace.
Well, they'll all be positioning themselves to be Prince George's groom at his wedding. What do they call them? Best man. And, you know, that, there'll be some really, middle class, upper class British women are very ambitious for their kids. So I think that it's interesting, but I think they're doing a terrific job of embracing what it is to be royal and yet having their feet very firmly on the ground.
Yeah. Of course, though, with Archie all the way over in the US and Canada, what's his upbringing going to be like now compared to his cousins?
It's interesting, isn't it, Zoe? Because he's certainly not going to have a if they stay there, he's not going to go to a British school, presumably. I mean, he's not going to go to Eton like his father. We don't know what sort of education that he might have. He might go to a Montessori kindergarten. He may, you know, they may travel all the time. He may be homeschooled. We don't know what decisions they're going to make. What we do know is that they want a very, very private life for him. Whether they'll manage to achieve that remains to be seen, obviously. But I feel very sad that he's not immersed in the wider family. You know, there is so, of any time to be born into the royal family, this is the time, because there's so many kids. And, you know, it's easy for them to get together because it's not like they have to hire out a scout hall to have a party. They have multiple palaces and houses, and there's fun things to do. They own tractors, they have farms, they have rivers that are solely there, you know, that they preside over. They have all these amazing play opportunities. That, you know, if they want to put up a bouncy castle, it's not like they're having to think, will it fit? It will fit. and I think it's a real shame that Archie's not part of that. I mean, and also for George, Charlotte and Louis, gorgeous for them to look after a little cousin, you know. He's fairly close in age to Louis. That could be a friendship throughout his life, and yet he's sort of being denied that because of the falling out between William and Harry. You would hope that they would think longer term. I'm not sure that family and that close, secure family relationship that that say Kate has wanted for her children is necessarily that important to someone like Meghan. I mean, she's that's not her background. She doesn't have that experience of a tangle of siblings, you know, sort of falling over each other and having biffs and laughs. And I think Harry though would want that for his child, and you know, presumably he would want more children, although they've said they only want two. Nevertheless, I think it's a real sadness that he's not going to be engaged with that. And I think at every opportunity they should be taking him back to the UK to form those friendships and those relationships with their cousins. I mean, you see how much fun someone like George has with Isla and Savannah Phillips, or with Zara Phillips's children, Mia and Lena. You know, they're all kind of under eight. Well, Savannah and Isla are a little bit older, but they're all sort of around the same age. That's the ideal opportunity. That's what everyone wants from their cousins. And unfortunately, I think Archie's going to be quite separated from that. So we don't know what sort of schooling he might have. We don't know what sort of personality. We know very, very little about him. And I'm not saying that we need to know, but you just hope that he was a little bit more enmeshed, not just in family, but in some of the wonderful things that the royal family stands for, which is you know, a sense of duty and stability. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see. I don't think where they are now is where they will always be. I think I don't think that the North American experiment will necessarily be what's still happening in 10 years' time. In fact, I think that family, all manner of things could happen to that family. Whereas I think we can predict where Kate and William will be in 10 years. I have no idea about Meghan and Harry and what their lives might look like, and in all faculties, when it comes to work, their relationship, their child rearing, I think that's no one can predict what might happen there.
Exactly. Of course, though, they obviously wanted to give Archie a relatively normal upbringing, and we know that there are some other royals out there, aren't there, that have normal childhoods.
More like Zara Phillips. Kids have a very normal childhoods. Lots of the European royalties, despite the fact that they have multiple palaces and castles and things, I think Mary and Fred have a fairly normal, obviously our Mary with in Denmark, they have a fairly normal upbringing, although they have got much criticism recently for taking the kids and going to Switzerland, where they've been, that all four children have been at a school in Switzerland. I think this is a terrific idea. I mean, Frederick's going to take over the throne relatively shortly. Their children are, I think, underneath 12 and under, so it's a time at which they can actually move, and you know, before you get into serious exams and that. These kids are, you know, fairly cloistered in their environment. It's great for them to have an idea of what's happening in other countries and to live for a term as they're doing in Switzerland. I mean, I know they're living in a ski area where they can go skiing, but, you know, why shouldn't they? And there's been criticism of the fact that it costs $100,000 for their 12-week stay. But what a great thing for them to do, you know, an experience, to make friendships with kids in another country, to understand it, to have some family time together and keep their family close before royal duties call on them. Yes, he is. Prince Christian's 14. Sorry, I was just checking that. So he's not yet at that stage where he's sitting the major exams. I think it's a really smart thing to do. Of course, Mary's also brought the kids with Fred to Australia. We've seen them on the Gold Coast swimming, boogie boarding. We've seen them when they've gone to Tasmania to visit her family. I think they're doing as much as they possibly can to give them a normal upbringing. In fact, they're so normal that they had that Airbnb, remember, that they were renting out.
That's right.
So just like the rest of us, they need to make a bit of coin on the side. Look, that's the only thing they've actually been criticised for in all the years that Mary has been part of the royal family. But I quite like the fact that, you know, they've got this. Why not use it? You know, in a world that we want to be more sustainable and less waste, if you've got somewhere that people can stay, use it and make some money from it. I think it's great. But yeah, there's been a bit of sneering about that. I think these kids are really lucky in so much there's four of them. They, you know, there's company for them in a way that I don't think Archie has and probably never will have.
It's a shame, isn't it?
It is a shame.
And just finally, before we wrap up, I know the Spanish royals also lead a pretty luxurious life.
I love
the
Spanish royals because no one really knows them and what their names are, but King Philippe of Spain's children. So he's got two daughters. Their names are Leonor, she's 14, and 12-year-old Sophia. And actually last year, I think it was last year, Leonor gave the speech at an event and she was really poised and she would have only been sort of 12, 13 then. And she's clearly, they're a very elegant looking family. But they, I love the fact that they have 5 country residences, 8 palaces, and they've also got 10 monasteries and convents that they own as well. So can you imagine, oh, look, which one should we go to this month? Anyway, I love this little anecdote. The girls attend this school, this exclusive school called the Santa Maria de la Rosales School in Madrid. And one former student has said that one of the things that you learn at the school is not only good table manners, but how to descend a set of stairs quietly. Shouldn't every kid be taught that? Not just royal kids. I mean,
I need to learn that. When I walk down the stairs in my high heels at work, I feel like I'm clumping away.
I know. Well, having lived with teenagers now for several years, they have no, you know, if they ever get up early or something, then they clatter downstairs. I think this should be in every school curriculum. The Spanish royal family's teachings on how to descend a set of stairs quietly and at the same time how to unstack a dishwasher and at the same time how to feed a cat. Those are the 3 things I want my children to leave school with. Anyway, how cool that the lovely royal sisters and their lovely ballet pumps can descend the stairs quietly. How useful to know that. I mean, at royal life, it's something you'd need to know, wouldn't you?
Exactly.
Anyway, I'm sure they have back stairs and everything. They probably just don't have one set of marble stairs going down the front of how many palaces did I say they have?
8, was it?
Yeah, I suppose you do need to learn that because there's probably not lifts in a monastery, is there? They wouldn't have modern lifts. That wouldn't be heated. That would be freezing. Anyway.
Yes, well, on that note, I think I'm going to go and look up how to walk downstairs quietly.
Good luck. Let me know when you've figured it out, Zoe.
Thank you so much for joining us today, Ange.
Thanks.
And thank you to everyone for listening. For more on the Royals, please go to newidea.com.au or our Facebook page, New Idea Royals. And, of course, don't forget to pick up the latest copy of New Idea Royals Monthly on sale Thursday.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.